a week. And it's only at Terrible's.
Raider Nation has found its new home for daily Raiders content. This is Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, part of the Las Vegas Sports Network, KRLV Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
It is Tuesday, Raider Nation game week. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are coming to town. Are you ready? It's a big game.
It's a big game.
Oops. And we will get. We got an echo coming. But that might be. My partner Q. If you turn down the Zoom. We should be good. All right. So we're back here.
We're talking about football today.
Let me run down a little bit of what we got going as well. Of course, the David Irving signing, the imminent signing, as you all may have heard, former defensive end of the Cowboys that retired because of the league's stance on marijuana, well, that is gone in the new CBA. And so David Irving looks like he's going to be a Las Vegas Raider. We'll talk about that, what it means for that defense as they get ready for Tampa Bay. Also, Anthony Galaviz from the Fresno Bee, he covers the Raiders. He'll be with us a little bit, too. He wrote a piece yesterday about the Raiders and how getting national praise and getting too excited about the Raiders too early you might have a little bit of caution with that. So we'll talk to him about that as well. We're also going to ask the question in the 3 o'clock hour, and I need your participation. So get those dialing fingers ready at 702-365-9200. Why do Raider fans want national recognition so badly? It's sort of like I heard someone describe it as Uncle Hondo did yesterday, as the pretty girl who wants everybody to tell them they're pretty, right? But why do Raider fans need that? We'll talk about that. And do you need it if you're part of Raider Nation? We'll talk about that at 3 o'clock. And then, of course, as always, in the 3 o'clock hour, we have the Q-tip at 3:20, and then we'll close out the show talking with Vinny Bonsignor from the Las Vegas Free Journal. Of course, his show, In the Huddle, comes up next here on Raider Nation Radio. Q, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. We were getting some echo, huh? Probably from the Zoom?
Yeah, I exited out of that. Just okay. Bump that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out later. All right, so we are here, Q, and the big news of the day, of course, it's a non-media day for the Raiders. Tuesdays are always sort of non-media availability days and all that, is David Irving. We talked about it yesterday. Reports now are that he will sign, or he has signed with the Raiders. Due to COVID testing, he took his first test on Saturday when I was there, and with the five-day situation, he will not be able to get on the field or get prepared to be in the game Sunday, so he's not going to play Sunday. But how big of a signing is this going to be for this Raider team?
I think it has the potential to be a really big signing. And no, he's not going to play this Sunday, which was never the expectations for me, at least. But I think it has the potential to be a real big signing just because, you know, for the long term, the Raiders have only played five games. Obviously, they'll have their sixth game on Sunday against Tampa Bay. But they've got the long haul, man. They've still got 10 games, and you want them to get better. You want to see them continue to improve, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And if they have a guy that could dominate and a guy that could be at least in the right mind, you know, in a right good place and really go out there and give a lot of effort, he could add to a rotation that looks like it's getting better. And so I think for the long haul, for the rest of this season, it could be a really big deal.
It could be. And we'll have to see how he does. I mean, remember, he's got it. Like you said yesterday, it's one thing to be in shape, but it's another thing to be in football shape.
Right.
And he's not played since 2018, remember. So he didn't play last year, and 18 was the last time that he saw. He was reinstated October 16th. pardon me. He obviously was coached by Rod Marinelli down in Dallas, who was the defensive coordinator at the time and also defensive line coach. And Irving had 12 and a half sacks over 37 games over four seasons with the Cowboys. And he was suspended on March 2019. So that's the situation. I mean, I look at him and, you know, the marijuana issue, we knew that that was going to happen, that the CBA would address that and it wouldn't be no longer be an issue. But for David Irving, Q, and I know you covered this since you were down there as this all happened too, that was just a breaking point for him. Was there any specific reason why the ability to be able to smoke when he wanted to and not and play football, why it was such a big issue? Do you know?
Well, he was a guy that, and look, there's a lot of these guys that don't like the opioids. They don't like the prescription drugs. They don't like the stuff that guys give them, the trainers and stuff give them while they're on the sidelines, because they're way more addictive than marijuana. And everyone could have their own opinions on that. But I think that the proof is in the pudding, that there's a lot more damage done by some of those painkillers that are given. And so that was one of the things with David Irvin. The other thing was he just wasn't motivated to work really hard. And that's something that Rob Marinelli pushes. He really pushes the hell out of people to get the most out of them. And for some reason, him and Marinelli always jived. They always were on the same page. But like Jason Garrett and the rest of the coaching staff for the Cowboys never were on the same page with David Irvin. So I say this all to tell you, if he's in a good place, if his mind is right and he's motivated to really go out there and dominate, he could be a stud. This dude picked up 7 sacks in 8 games with the Cowboys in 2017. Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a stat right there.
Yeah. And they need that little bit too, right? They need a little help on the defensive line. You can't be too deep there, and they have some guys that haven't performed. I mean, Carl Nassib broke his toe. We still don't know his status as well, even though he was a big signee for the Raiders this year. So if Irvin can come in and be a really good player, right, and doesn't have to be, I'm not talking Pro Bowl, I'm not talking about 7 sacks in 7 game or 8 games, but even if he's just competent and does well and helps build that pressure off the edge for the Raiders, he's worth it. And I'm sure it's going to come at a pretty reasonable deal for a guy who's been out of the league. But clearly, I don't know if it was. It'd be interesting when we get a chance to talk to David Irvin, because was it because he was in Vegas and then the Raiders are here and he saw everything that was happening and he saw what the Raiders were building here? Did that reignite his passion to want to get back on the football field along with the reinstatement? Because he had to pursue the reinstatement as well. He was waiting for it to happen, right? And then you wonder, did anyone help him with that? Did Coach Marinelli help him with the reinstatement? There's all sorts of questions that we won't
know.
And
it's partial.
Yeah. It's partial.
It's not all the way. It's not a full one yet.
Correct. And what does that mean, right? Because they could sign him, and maybe they can sign him to the practice squad, and he's not eligible to play this year. I mean,
well, that's where he's at right now. Yeah. They have him on the practice squad right now.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then, and maybe he's not, but again, if he's not eligible to play this year, then he's not going to help you this year. But still a good signing, in my view, even if he can't and he's got to wait until next year, still a guy that you're giving cash to, but you didn't have to give up any of your draft capital. You didn't have to give up players. And to me, that's significant.
Yeah, that's the biggest deal right there. I mean, he's the best guy available at the best bargain right now. He didn't have to give up any draft capital. He's not a guy that's just sitting at home and you wonder why, like, he just got cut from a team. This is a guy who you know can be a dominant force again, but everything's got to be right. Everything's got to be in a good place. He's got to have his mind right. And if he does, he can absolutely go out there and dominate. And like I said, just be part of a rotation. Right. What he does is from the interior. It's not from the edge. It's from the interior. That's a big deal, because that's what the Raiders need.
No doubt. So he can come in and help them out. We'll see if he gets a chance to do it this year. Lots of questions, and we want to answer them for you, but we don't know them yet. So we'll wait till we hear from the team and they make the signing actually announced, unless I missed it already by the time we went on the air.
Yeah, they put it out there. Oh, they signed him, and they put him on the practice squad, and then Marcus Mariota has been activated off injured reserve.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I didn't get a press release, but that's okay.
That's not a press. They just tweeted it out. You know, their social media is ahead of time.
Oh, yeah, they're ahead. That's good, though. All right, so we have a definitive answer. What do you guys think of the David Irvin signing? 702-365-9200 is the number for you to get on and talk. Speaking of his old team, though, Q, and you're down in Texas, man, the Cowboys.
They stink.
How bad do Cowboy fans feel this morning or this afternoon?
Well, I'll tell you, it was a fun show this afternoon, brother.
You had a lot of calls.
It's one of those you walk in and say, well, what do you think? And all the feedback comes through. Right now, they are in a bad, bad place, man. Their coaching staff is being questioned by players, by fans, just everybody. You know, it's a big, big mess right now with the Cowboys. And so, Raider fans that feel bad about certain things that the Raiders do, just look at the Cowboys and say, man, things could be a lot worse.
Well, but Q, do people down there, is it a situation, are they, do they dislike Jerry Jones or no?
I don't know if they dislike him. I think they realize all the good that he does, but at the same time, they realize he's going to have his thumbprint and his fingerprints on the team, and it's still everything rolls through him. I mean, he is, in my opinion, this is what I've always said, is he's very similar to Al Davis. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens without him signing off on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, since though...
Simple.
Yeah, and in the last several years, they've just not been able to get anything together. And then, you know, I give them a bit of a break only because, and I know the record before what, but when you lose Dak,
don't give them a break.
When you lose Dak, you know, that's a big one. But they weren't doing well before that. So
they haven't done anything in 20 plus years. They are very similar to the Raiders. The only difference is they probably have a little bit more spotlight because they're quote unquote America's team, but truth be told, when's the last time they won a trophy?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And they spend a lot of monies on a lot of players and they've gotten not much results. So
yeah,
don't feel bad for them at all.
Well, and the Chiefs bounced back yesterday. That one little little play by Mahomes is getting a lot of replay where he dukes the guy out a little bit and waits and ends up getting the first down. He thought he was going to, the guy thought he was going to just go out of bounds and then, Mahomes pulls a little loop-de-loo,
yeah,
and runs for the first down. It's like, man, when you're a professional, you can't stop. You got to go, especially with a guy like that who creates with his feet. But the Chiefs get back on the winning ways, and now the Bills, for 2 weeks in a row, don't look like they did early in the season.
No, they don't. And, you know, going back to that play you were talking about with Mahomes, that's the sticky part, man. That's the tricky part as well. It's just like you don't know if he's going to go out of bounds. So if you go and hit him, and he does go out of bounds, then you get a penalty.
Yeah.
If you pull up like they did, then he decides he's going to keep on running. So I don't really like the rules, the way that they protect the quarterback so much, because something like that can happen. And then you get mad at the player for, like you said, pulling up. But as far as he thought, he was going out of bounds and he didn't want to get a penalty.
Right. And I think you leave the pocket at all, you should be open game. And there should, yep, a lot of those rules shouldn't be there, because it's like, look, once you leave the pocket, you are a running back.
Exactly.
And so why should there be any difference between how you're treated versus how a running back's treated? There's not. But Kansas City moves to 5-1, and they kind of keep pace in the AFC. And then, of course, we talked about the Titans yesterday. But, yeah, this whole COVID thing and the multiple games, I mean, yesterday's game started at 2 p.m. Pacific time. I know people on the East Coast don't care because for them there's nothing past the East Coast. But to have football on in the afternoon when we were on the air and to have that Cowboy game, which was, to me, it was sort of brutal to watch. I mean, not just because of the Cowboys' performance, but it was kind of a long game. Although Kyler Murray, what's your view on Kyler Murray? I'm kind of mixed. I think he's got a lot of talent. I like him. I just still expect – a lot of people are starting to compare him to Russell Wilson, and I think it's way too early for that.
No, he's not that guy yet.
Yeah.
He only completed 9 passes last night.
I know.
I mean, yeah, he wasn't that good. He's a great athlete. He's a winner. I mean, that's just one thing I could say. He's won on every level, and I'm sure he's going to continue to win on every level. But he's not Russell Wilson, who very easily could be the MVP this year. He's a good player, but he's not a great player. We'll see if he continues to get better, and we'll see if that style of play actually sticks with in the NFL, and he can do that for the long term. I got my questions about that as well.
Well, I do too. And by the way, when to win, even with the NFL, the new quarterbacks, the Mahomes, the Jacksons, the Watsons, those guys, and how physical they are, how they're able to move and create with their legs is great. You still got to throw the ball. Right.
Yep.
And you still got to challenge defenses and really be able to read those defenses on the pass. And I just haven't seen it from him yet. I mean, I like Kyler Murray. I think he's a good kid and the whole deal. And I think he's going to be a very good quarterback. I'm just, the comparisons already to me to Russell Wilson are just a little premature, and I'm not down with that. So you guys can tell us what you think. 702-365-9200 is the number. We also have the Sam and Ash text line, 69186. But also, this show, powered by Sam and Ash, we also, before we get on the air, Q and I have a Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar. If you have not had a Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar, you're missing out. Make sure you go out and get one. If you're here in Las Vegas, you can get them at Terrible Herbs at convenience stores. You can get them at local health food stores. You can also find them online at drjensnutrition.com, where if you use the code SBT10, SBT10, you get a special discount just for our listeners. Plus, you get free shipping. And Q, I am all over the mint chocolate chip today, my man. I was like,
oh, are you?
Oh, man. But the problem is, I made the mistake again, man. I left the box out. My kids are rolling through them. Like, just,
that's your fault, man. At this point,
I know it is.
You know what I mean? Like, the first time, okay, it's on them. Second time, maybe it's even on them. But if you keep doing it, man, you keep leaving the candy out there for the kids to come get. And I say candy, but I mean, it's just like you're teasing them. You know, you're leaving it out there. Of course, they're going to jump on it.
Well, and that's the thing is they run through them because I got the three boys at home and they all love them, right? But it's like, yeah, I'd rather they eat the Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars, and I'm upset because I want them for myself and that my wife is doing it because my wife's been working out like a maniac the last several weeks and doing really well. So she's been eating them. So now it's like there's five of us eating them. But then when I get mad, I'm thinking to myself, well, my kids are eating that. They're not eating crap. So
it's time to get their own.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling them. Get it.
I'm sure you probably put a couple dollars in their pocket, man. Tell them to go on and pay like they weigh.
That's right. They got to get the chores done first, though, man. Right?
Pay like they weigh.
Yes.
Like they serious.
I love it. Yeah. But that's the thing. You have to make the kids earn it, man. I don't care what it is. And
don't get nothing.
That's right. They earn allowance.
I'm Mr.
with
Mean.
Us. You're Mr. Mean? You're the Grinch?
Yes.
You're the Grinch.
Yes. I don't care.
We're gonna go on the phone and talk to a nice guy, one of our favorites. Gangster Raider joins us now on the Raider Nation hotline. Gangster Raider, what's up on a Tuesday?
What's happening, y'all? I just want to let y'all know about the reason why this Tampa Bay game is personal. First of all, Tampa Bay was the team that beat us in our last Super Bowl. And also, Gruden was the coach then at the time. I'm still kind of mad at Gruden about that. But anyway, and also Tampa Bay fired Gruden. We never fired Gruden. We traded him to Tampa Bay. Al Davis traded him to Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay actually fired him. And, you know, the beef we got with Tom Brady from the Tuck Rule, and Derek Carr also has personal beef because he said the day he moved to Vegas, Tom Brady was all over the newspaper as a possible trade with him. And the coaching, you know, Gruden wants to beat Bruce Arians because he's the new coach of Tampa Bay, and he's the old coach with the ring and everything. And also the copyright infringement, because remember Tampa Bay, they old logo was like on some swashbuckler stuff, but then they switched up the logo. Now they got the double swords like us. They on some more pirate stuff like us. It's like they want to be the Raiders, but they not the Raiders. There's only one Raiders, and we the Raiders. That's why this is a personal game. And also, speaking of copyright infringement, this question is for Scott. Scott, have you noticed that the Chargers have like having more black clothes, and they got like, I seen one of their logos, just like a black hat with like a silver logo and a light blue horse on it. It's like they infringing upon our colors and our logo, and even like with a horse. That's Denver. You know what I'm saying? Like they taken from us and Denver, but I think they trying to siphon off our fan base because they really don't have no fan base here in L.A. Rams either, but it's really Raider town. So I think they trying to have Raider colors and like trying to even copyright, I mean, even infringe upon our logo and try to attract, you know, maybe some disgruntled Raider fans or whatever. What you think about that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The black side of it is definite because the black merchandise sells. And I don't disagree with you. I think they are probably trying to tap into a little bit of the Raider Nation feel down there, but there's no way it's going to work. The horse in the Chargers logo was actually there when they were founded in 1960. So they're just returning to that. But because the Chargers, the whole horse with the lightning bolt and all that stuff was there. But as far as it being a personal game and a big deal, Q, I agree with them there. I mean, look, there's all these connections, and it's Tom Brady. It's the greatest quarterback to play the game. So if you look at winning and all that stuff. So if that's the case, of course it's a big game. It's a national game for this team on TV. Yes, Gruden's former team, but, you know, he was traded to the Buccaneers. He didn't choose to go there, per se, but he won the Super Bowl there. And so there's all sorts of subplots going on here which make the game huge.
I mean, it does. But ultimately, at the end of the day, man, you can't get too fired up and too riled up about that, because then that sometimes you kind of get off your skis. You know, you're not really playing your game. You got to go in there and think about this as another game, a game that's very important, just like every single game on the schedule is important. I mean, there's a lot of storylines. Absolutely. That's just how the NFL goes.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and you're right about the Super Bowl. I think everyone's aware of that. Everyone's aware of the Tuck rule, Gruden being traded. I mean, hey, look, fast forward to 2020. You just got to go out there and win some games for the sake of what you're trying to get accomplished this season, which is make it to the playoffs and dance once you get there.
Don't look back, only look forward. Yep. It's all about the future now in Las Vegas with the Raiders. We're going to step aside, take a break. When we come back, don't go anywhere, 502 Raider. We'll have you on next when we come back. And then Anthony Galaviz from the Fresno Bee will be with us. We'll talk to him about his piece yesterday in the Bee about the Raiders and also get his reaction to the David Irving signing. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Here we go on a Tuesday. Q Myers, Scott Gulbranson on Silver and Black Today on your channel. The only radio station you need to listen to, of course, because you're part of Raider Nation. This is Raider Nation Radio 920. Make sure you follow the station on Twitter at Twitter. Hello. Twitter at RNR 920 AM. Your boy Q254 is where you can find Q on Twitter and myself at LV Gully as well. So come on there. And be respectful and have great conversation. We'll be there for you. All right, we're going back on the phones to 502 Raider D's back with us. How you doing today, buddy?
What's going on with you, gentlemen? How's it going?
Good, buddy.
Chilling.
Listen, Dad, I want to make a little statement. The only thing that, you know, Al and Mr. Jones have in common is that they were no-nonsense guys that expected perfection out of their teams. The only difference is Jerry Jones backed his up with money. Al Davis backed his up with the love of the game and knowledge of the game, what the game took. You know, speed and having guys, flashy guys and fast guys to go out, you know, to be wide receivers and such. But back to this game here, man. This is a phenomenal year for us moving to Vegas, getting the shiny new Death Star. You know, we were so long in Oakland, man, and the city loved us. Well, the fans in the city loved us. But, you know, city couldn't support having, you know, building us a new stadium. So, you know, it's sad that happened. But this is a new start for us. This year is a new start. This is simply not about John and Tampa Bay and all the pads and all the other stuff. This is simply about earning and gaining our respect in this league for years to come, period. This game is simply about wins and losses. It's not about Tom Brady. He's 40-something years old. He is not the Tom Brady in his prime. These guys have an excellent defense. All we got to do is go out there. We've proven this year through a couple different games, averaging 30 points a game, but that we can beat anybody on any given Sunday, like the movie says. All we got to do is go out there and take care of business, man. We are loaded everywhere. The defense is getting better. I predict we're going to win this game, man. We're going to get back and gain our respect, and this year is going to be a year, the prove-it year, that we prove to people that we are here, and we are here to stay. Raider Nation for life, fellas. I'm out.
There you go. 502 Raider D, as always. And, you know, he's right. It's about the future. We said that earlier, Q, and that, you know, people want, and we're going to spend some time talking to our guest and also at the top of the hour on our own about this need for respect and the desire for it amongst fans. Of course, the team, it's different, but we'll talk about that a little bit. And there's really, as 502 Raider D just said, Q, there's one surefire way to get mutual respect nationwide, and that is by winning.
Exactly.
Plain and simple.
That's what it all boils down to. I would like to go back real quick to his statement he was saying, because I made the comment that Jerry is very Al-like.
Yes.
And I'll go back to that, because they are very similar. Yes, they did a couple things differently. But if you look at it, Jerry Jones is still the owner, the general manager. He's the guy who calls all the shots. Until the day that Al Davis passed away, he was the owner. He was the general manager. He was the guy who called the shots. They were also best friends. There was actually times when Al Davis worked out at the Cowboys facility, even had Cowboys like garb on, you know, clothes on, because he didn't have any workout material. The guys were very, very similar and very close. There was a time when Michael Irvin was looking like he was about to get cut from the Cowboys because he was injured and banged up, and Al told him he was going to sign him. The minute Al told him he was going to sign him, Jerry kept him. If Jerry Jones goes to or went to, when he would go to the Oakland Coliseum when the Cowboys would play, he would go down to the black hole, and Cowboy fan or Raider fans would be very respectful to him because, again, they all had that same mutual feeling. Now, what 502 Raider said about money and the fact that Jerry would money whip guys, that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, they were both owners that loved their players and loved their team. And the players could always walk into their office directly and speak to them. So, I mean, there's a lot of similarities, man. You go back and look. I understand what you're saying, but there's definitely a lot of similarities between the two.
Well, and in closing on this subject, I'm sure we'll talk about it again. I'm sure somebody else will call in as well. But I will tell you that without Jerry Jones, okay, ready for this, yep. Raider fans?
Exactly.
Without Jerry Jones, this team would not be here in Las Vegas.
Nope.
Period.
Nope.
I mean,
sure wouldn't.
Him and Robert Kraft, probably two teams that Raider fans hate the most, almost. I mean, definitely the Patriots, but and the Cowboys. Nobody likes the Cowboys, right? But except if you're in Texas, where Q is.
I don't think you know. I don't think that many people hate the Cowboys unless they're in the NFC East.
No, they don't hate them because
they don't really do anything. They don't. They're not a threat.
It's like the Raiders, right? The Raiders had the mystique, and then they weren't good for 25, 30 years, and so kind of goes away. But my point is, without Jerry Jones, I mean, Raider fans, you don't have to cheer for the Cowboys, but as far as Jerry Jones goes, you should be thankful for him and respectful of him because he helped them get here. They would not be
absolutely
here without
did.
Him. So, very interesting point. Okay, it's time for our guest. We're going to go out on the Newsmaker line and bring in Anthony Galaviz from the Fresno Bee. He covers the team. Anthony, your first time here on the show. Welcome, and thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, what's going on, Scott? And what's going on, Q? Long time no talk.
What's up, brother? It's a long time no talk.
That's right. You guys with your Fresno roots. We've all lived in Fresno, by the way. All three of us. So funny stuff. Okay, so Anthony, yesterday in the B, you wrote a story about the Raiders. You know, the Raiders feel good about themselves. Raider fans, I mean, there's the segment of Raider fans, and we're going to actually talk about it later on the show, that actually, I think, like being miserable. So they might not be happy, but the majority of fans are happy. This team is at 3-2, coming off a huge win in Kansas City against the Chiefs, and now come home to play Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. But last year, too, this team started off hot, and we saw what happened. So your piece was a little bit of a cautionary tale to say, hey, Raider fans, you still got a little ways to go before you feel way good about the season, right?
Yeah, you know, I took a lot of thought about, you know, writing this article because, you know, the Raiders, obviously, like, as you mentioned, started off 3-2, hit the bye week, come back from the bye week. Everything fell apart against Green Bay, and then the week after that, you know, then they faced, it just things unraveled from there, and they picked up three straight wins after that, but again, things unraveled again, when you expected them to beat the Titans and the Jaguars in the week before the Jets. I mean, everybody's talking, oh, yeah, it's going to be a win, but no, that didn't turn out to be the case because, you know, that game was 34-3, so things just unraveled. So when I wrote the story, I'm just like, okay, we're back at that position again, 3-2. You know, you're coming off the bye week playing against Tom Brady and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You just got to slow down. I mean, I just hear the national media talking about, you know, the Raiders, you know, John Gruden, they got this team together, you know, they're going to go on a roll. I mean, they obviously got the pieces, but, you know, it's one game at a time, you know, and it's just, I don't know if they're looking ahead to this next game or what, but it just—I mean, they were a playoff team last year, you know, and it's just one of those things where, you know, when you have two home games against the Titans and Jaguars, games that you're set to win and get yourself in a prime position to get that playoff spot, to see it to go the other way, it's like, wow, you know, what happened to us? And so here we are a year later, saying, you know, 3-2, you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers rolling in after smoking the Green Bay Packers. Now you're thinking to yourself, okay, we beat the Kansas City Chiefs, now we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We made a statement against the Chiefs, now we got the Buccaneers coming in. So in a way, this is a statement game for the Raiders. Because, you know, at the Tampa, you go on the road to Cleveland, you don't know what, you know, which Browns team you're going to be playing against.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just a cautionary tale, you know, where, you know, yeah, you know, they got the pieces there to make a run in the playoffs. But again, it's just one game at a time.
That's what it is, too, Anthony. And we've been talking about it so far this week, that's what the NFL is. You know, you could look like a great team, like Green Bay looked great, unstoppable, and then you saw what Tampa Bay did to them. You know, it's just a one-week-at-a-time approach, and you're exactly right. Last year is a great example of what it could happen. You know, if you get a couple of injuries, guys fall off, and all of a sudden you're on a losing streak instead of a winning streak. But as far as just the rosters made and the feelings that you have, if the guys are right, just what are your thoughts on the team in general? As they sit right now, 3-2, heading into this game this week against Tampa Bay.
Wow, you know, look at this roster. I mean, the key is Jonathan Abram. I mean, you didn't have Abram, you know, for the rest of the year after the Broncos game, the Monday night opener. I mean, you got the pieces there that this team, you look on paper, this is a playoff team. Hmm. And they got the makeup. They did great in the draft with Henry Ruggs. You know, who knows with Damon Arnett? You know, we don't know what's going to happen with COVID and especially Malcolm's injury. But, you know, year before, you get Jacobs, you get all these other guys, you get all these pieces, and you got the makeup. I mean, it's just, you're seeing it for the first, 4 weeks that you've seen already, like, wow, you know, this offense putting a point, you know, something that you expected a year ago. And now you surround weapons for Derek Carr. I mean, it's just the makeup of the roster. I mean, I really believe Mayock and Gruden did a good job in the draft, and then not only them, but the scouting team. And, you know, this team, I mean, whether it be this year or the year after that, could actually challenge for AFC West title. Yeah. I understand, yeah, you got Patrick Mahomes over at Kansas City, but this team, the Raiders, what they have right now, the makeup, I mean, they go off and find David Irving today. I mean, you're just putting yourself in a good position to make that run. And I believe that this, what you see on the roster, with Jacobs, with Renfro, the day goes on. I mean, it's just this roster, this makeup. I mean, they could really do some damage.
Yeah. Anthony Galaviz from the Fresno Bee covers the Raiders, is our guest here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And Anthony, you just mentioned David Irving, as we talked about in the opening of our show about the signing of him today. Clearly, you know, for as great of a job as Mike Mayock and John Gruden have done constructing this roster, there's been some misses, at least at this point. I'm not passing judgment on guys like Malik Collins or Mo Hurst yet. Mo Hurst just came off the COVID list today. But those guys have not performed enough, which has made them go out and sign a guy like David Irving. What is the impact you think David Irving will have on this team if he can get back to even, 80-90% of what he was when he was with the Cowboys 3 years ago?
Well, with Rod Marinelli there, I really think that he's going to make a big impact for the Raiders. Obviously, you know, he's going to start off the practice squad, but, you know, with him coming on board, I really believe it's really going to give a jolt to the defense. Obviously, you know, the defense struggled the first 3 weeks, and then they cleared together against the Kansas City Chiefs. You saw glimpses of what the defense can do. But, you know, with Damon Irving, I mean, you need somebody like him to come in and just wreak havoc like he did. You know, you saw glimpses for the Cowboys, especially in 2016 when he had that three force fumble or whatever it may be. And, you know, with Rob Marinelli, that helps a lot because, you know, Marinelli loves David Irving. I mean, with Malik Collins, yeah, he's struggling, but I really believe that the tide will turn for him as well. You know, you're going to, it's sort of like a new system coming to the Raiders, but, you know, with Marinelli, you know, I really believe that defensive line will really get that push, especially with Irving on board, that you can see a different defense when he actually on the active roster.
Anthony, a lot of Raider Nation has been talking about the trade deadline that's coming up on November 3rd, and there's some teams that are struggling, some players that look like they could be in a new place by the end of that trade deadline. Do you see the Raiders, especially now that they went and made this move for David Irving, do you see them making a move by the trade deadline?
That's a good question. I wonder about that. And one of the names I was thinking about, and you saw he was activated today, was Marcus Mariota. And there are some teams out there, like the Cowboys, who need a quarterback. You saw Andy Dalton struggling last night. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, I don't think, per se, the Raiders are going to acquire a player, because I don't think they need one. I mean, yeah, I believe they're set all over. But, you know, as far as, like, getting draft picks, you may want to, I don't know. I mean, who knows what they're going to do with Mariota? I mean, you got Peterman there. You got, I think, Derek Carr starting. So where does Mariota fit in all this? And, you know, with Cowboys really needing a quarterback to some other teams, they may take a poke at the Raiders and say, hey, what can we do to, you know, get Mariota?
Yeah, it's a great question, Anthony, because tomorrow they have to make the decision on Mariota because he was taken off IR, or he was eligible to come off of IR 3 weeks ago, so they have to do something tomorrow. If they do not take him, if they don't put him on the active roster.
They activate him today.
Oh, they did activate him. See, there you go. See? That's what happens when you're doing show prep and don't see. So they activated him. So clearly he's on the roster. So if they were to move him, I wonder though how much of that salary they have to eat. But I guess they figure it's already counted against their cap this year anyway. But what's fascinating though is I think a lot of fans, Anthony, I keep seeing a lot of people talk about how the Raiders have this quote unquote easy schedule on the back end. And is it more favorable than the first six games? Yes. But you pointed out some games in there I think people are kind of overlooking. You're overlooking Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta's 1-5, but look what they did last week. And they have a healthy Julio Jones, as long as he's not traded. And then you have the Chargers with the young quarterback. He's doing well. Their defense is getting healthier, and they're getting better. Then you have a couple other games. I mean, like you said, Cleveland, they look terrible against Pittsburgh. But the week earlier, they looked pretty good. So for the Raiders to have a sense for whether or not they're a playoff team, I think the next 4 weeks will really clearly tell us that, because they have two games on the road at the Chargers, at the Browns. They have the home game against the Buccaneers and then the Chiefs. So those four games, to me, will really be the telling point for where this team is at overall in a playoff run.
Well, you know, the next four games, you know, obviously they host Tampa Sunday Night Football. Then they go to Cleveland, and then they got to go to L.A. and play the Chargers, and then he played Denver at Allegiant Stadium. I mean,
yeah, Denver, that's right.
But Justin Herbert, I mean, that guy is just going off. I mean, he's obviously a threat. I mean, these next four games, next 4 weeks, you know, this will tell you where the Raiders are going to be, you know, at the end of the season, because you know, AFC West, you know, foes, you know, that's always difficult to play, you know, whether it be home or away. I mean, you know what the Chargers are going to bring, you know, with Herbert and, you know, whoever that running back, and especially on defense, you know, you got both on the other end, so he's always going to be a threat. Broncos as well, even without Von Miller. I mean, is it, you know, these next 4 weeks, it's going to say a lot about the Raiders' 2020 season, you know, whether they're a pretender or a contender.
Yeah. No, you're right. Anthony Galaviz from the Fresno Bee. My friend, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll catch up with you again down the line very soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right. There you go. Anthony Galaviz. Follow him on Twitter, too. Good writer. Great paper. The Fresno Bee's always been a great paper.
Yeah, they do a good job.
They really do. It still is. So, but that's where I'm worried, though. I hear a lot of people, oh, we're going to beat this team, we're going to beat that team. It's like, wait a minute.
Man.
In the NFL
it's
today.
It's a week-to-week league, man.
Yeah. And especially this year. You just don't know. I mean,
right.
You see, like the Packers. Now, I'm not saying the Buccaneers aren't a good team, because they are, clearly. But the Packers look so good the week before, then they go down to Tampa and they get their head handed.
They get waxed.
Yeah.
And sometimes it happens.
It does. And look, if you're a longtime Raiders fan, you know that the AFC West, games in the AFC West are always knockdown, drag out. I mean, they just are. They just always are that way because they're division rivalries. They're old. They go back to the AFL days and players take them personally, you know, and they get geared up for them on one side or the other. Denver's coming along. I think Drew Lock made a couple of mistakes late in the game, but he looked pretty good as well. So this division's getting better. The quarterbacks in the division are getting better. So we'll have to see how that goes. And then don't forget the old division nemesis, Philip Rivers in Indy, finally got a win. I still think they can win that game, but still, they're not a pushover. That's the
key. No. There's, look, I'll tell you, man, regardless what you think of the schedule, the rest of the way, none of the games are pushovers. They might not be as daunting and the hardest games like the beginning of the schedule, but they're all going to be dogfights, man. It's going to be games that are going to stress you out, and that's just what it is.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. We're going to step aside here in about a minute and take a break. When we come back, we're going to take some more of your phone calls. What do you guys think? The Mariota thing, thank you for correcting me on that. I don't know why I didn't see that one. Gosh.
We talked about it at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, we did. See, it's just Tuesday.
You're bad.
Tuesdays are like my Mondays for some. Monday, I get pumped up because we're back on the air, right? But then Tuesdays, I always seem to have like a mental block. I don't know what it is, but I guess it's a personal problem. But we're going to have fun anyway, man. But yeah, the Mariota situation is interesting because I did not know whether or not they would activate him today. Clearly they did, but it was going to be fascinating to see if they didn't, what they were going to do, because then suddenly you're paying a guy $7 million not to play. But I don't know that there's going to be any takers for him on the trade market, though. I just don't
see it. I don't either. Yeah. It was interesting, though, when Anthony said that, because I wasn't even thinking about, you know, the Raiders trading players away.
Yeah.
I was thinking about them possibly bringing guys in. And then when he said Marcus Mariota, I just don't think that the Raiders, well, I know, actually, they haven't showcased him enough for anyone to even be interested in him at this point. You know what I mean?
Right.
He just hasn't been out there, so you can't showcase a guy who's not playing.
Yeah, nobody knows where he's at, and his injury was never really disclosed that much, so you don't know exactly what happened and where he's at with that. We'll get a crack at Coach Gruden tomorrow, I think, so we can ask questions about Mariota and the other guys on the team too. Bryan Edwards, for example, where's he at? Vinny said yesterday that he didn't look probable for this week, but then tweeted out something earlier, so we'll have to ask him about Bryan Edwards later on the show. Okay, we're going to go take a break now. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls as the Raider Talk rolls on with your boy Q and Scott here on Silver and Black today.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
You gotta love that double bass, baby.
Okay.
Pounding the pedals.
That'll work.
Our man Bobby Pichotto on the board today, helping produce the show, doing a great job as always. We're going to go back on the phone lines to our good friend down in Louisiana, in New Orleans. It is Steven. Steven, how you doing, man? Good. Glad to hear you check in this week.
Oh, good. Bye weeks are boring, but I was listening the whole week, but I figured I would save this little nugget. Gangsta Raider, don't come after me because my whole crew's out on unemployment, but... Fun facts, you know who John Gruden's last game as a head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers he got beat by?
The Raiders, Jamarcus Russell.
Tom Cable.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that bought a second year for Tom Cable. So if those guys can coach together, I don't think they give a rat's you-know-what about all that stuff. So.
Agreed. But Jamarcus Russell was the quarterback that won that game, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Who's this?
I think Michael Bush busted off a long run, and Derek Brooks had no legs left, and he couldn't catch it. And I think that was Derek Brooks' final game of his Hall of Fame career as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But so that's an interesting nugget to all that. I remember being happy as a Raiders fan because he beat us in the Super Bowl that we got him fired. But I was happier once again as a fat boy at a birthday cake convention when we rehired Gruden. So what do I know? But, you know, I want to get about two or three games up over 500 because, you guys' point, we're going to lose some games we think we should win, and we might win some games we think we should lose.
Sure.
I mean, none of us had us beating the Chiefs last week. So I'm not thinking we're going to just go whip up on Tom Brady and that great Tampa defense. That defense is for real. I want us to win, but I'm smart enough to know that only the bookies know how to play the football game. They get you to bet half money on one side, half money on the other side, and they take 10% and they laugh all the way to the bank. So
yeah, that's very true. Steven, as always,
man.
Have a great
day, guys. Yeah, thanks for the call.
You too, buddy. Thanks for listening, as always. But I will tell you that I think the Raiders are going to have to pass effectively in this game. The Buccaneers are giving up a league low 64 yards on the ground.
Right. So it'll be a game, honestly, like the Saints game.
Yes.
You got to pass to open up the run.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's going to be – I actually think this will be a shootout. I think you're going to have to – because I think the Raiders' defense, as good as it played against the Chiefs, I think that that Buccaneer offense will give them some trouble. And you can't discount Tom Brady, even at his age. I know he's looked a little confused at times and all that, but he looked pretty good last week. And he doesn't have to put up huge numbers to beat you. To me, you just gonna have to respect that. But if you can score like you have been, if Derek Carr can throw the ball and, like you said, establish the run and be able to follow that up, then they should be able to score what they need to.
Yeah, exactly. And the key defensively for me is if the Raiders can get pressure. If they can get half the pressure that they were getting on Patrick Mahomes when they played the Chiefs, then they're going to have a good opportunity to win this game. Because I'll tell you, man, Tom Brady ain't running around that backfield. He's not escaping all that pressure. You get Mad Max screaming down your neck. You got Clelin Ferrell coming after you. Arden Key coming after you. Jonathan Hankins. Any of those cats along that offensive line or defensive line, man, they have an opportunity to have 3 or 4 sacks because Brady's not going to run out of trouble. Now, he might get rid of the ball really quickly. You know, he might just dump it off real quick to a running back, but he's definitely not going to be escaping any kind of trouble like Patrick Mahomes did.
All right. From 30,000 feet above the desert floor, I see it there below, a city with a legend, the West Texas city of El Paso. Jose.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
Jose, what's up, my man?
Hey, good, good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, buddy.
Chilling.
Good, good. Hey, so I think I just heard the news that we just signed that defensive end from, well, ex-defensive end from the Cowboys. What do you guys think of him?
Yeah, David Irving. I think it's a great signing. It's very low risk for the Raiders financially, and they need help on the defensive line as of right now. You know, they have some players who've underperformed, and the defense got better against Kansas City, played that great second half. And if you can go get a guy who's able to come in and produce some much needed interior pressure, why not do it?
Right, right. There's another thing, a concern. Not a concern, but maybe in the future. I know Brian Edwards might be the future wide receiver in the next year, but what about bringing in a wide receiver in the free agency? I was reading that maybe Chris Godwin might be available. Who's that guy from Chicago? He might be available still in his early 20s, no, late 20s, I'm saying. Might not get one of those guys maybe next year. I know it's a little early, way too early, but I'm not too.
Go ahead, Q.
Well, I mean, I don't really – there's not really guys that I see the Raiders going out and making some moves for, you know, right now. Honestly, I feel like they're kind of happy with what they got offensively, especially. You know, Edwards is going to come back at some point, and the guys that are out there right now, as long as they stay healthy, and, of course, that's as long as, you know, they're doing the job. Now, there's been a lot of questions as far as Julio Jones goes because a lot of people believe he's available. I don't know if the Raiders would really want to do that. And like I told Scott on Monday, I think that that's more of a luxury than a necessity.
Yeah, it is. Jose, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a break. We have El Paso Raiders, second call in a row from El Paso. We're big
wow.
in El Paso.
Representing.
We'll get to you after the break. This is Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.